It is when a true believer, with the help of the Holy Spirit within us, when we hear any false teaching, we feel that the Spirit is troubled within us and we don't like what we hear. As we know the Word of God and compare false teaching with the truth, we know that there are false shepherds around that try and deceive. They're like thieves and robbers who want to steal away from the Lord. But false shepherds never enter the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the door. Yes, in one sense, the door is also the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit opens up you to understand the Word of God. It's as if he's a door to the truth. But of course, we know the Scriptures are like a door, because the Scriptures lead you to the Savior and lead you to the Word and the nature and purposes of God. But these false shepherds never enter by the door, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. I am the door, as you know. They want to climb up by another way. You can't get into salvation. You can't get into the Lord in any other way. You can't get into heaven by any other way. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. You know that's true. He is the only one who can bring salvation. False shepherds never can. I am the door, verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That's the shepherd care. The shepherd guidance. The shepherd in Israel, like in Wales, always leads from the front. We tend to drive them from behind, the shepherds, but the shepherd leads. I was sharing a bit earlier over the breakfast time how the Lord really cares for us as his sheep, as a shepherd cares for the animal sheep. That when the shepherd leads the sheep for a drink, they have to be by still waters. Because the nose of the sheep is very low down by the mouth. And if the waters are ruffled by the wind, the water goes up their nose. So he leads them by still waters that they can drink easily. Also the shepherd going from the front in desert areas particularly, where you often see sheep and goats all mixed up together in Israel. You may have seen them there. And the shepherd goes in the front and he looks for holes in the sand where he leads his sheep through to green pastures. And where he sees a hose in the ground, he knows that's where snakes are. So he puts oil round the edge of the hole, and the snake will never come out over the hole. The Lord protects and watches over his sheep, as the Lord looks after us in the same way. Very wonderful pictures there of the shepherd and sheep in Scripture. It's very rich in our understanding. And we find here that the Lord calls each one personally by name. He knows your name. It's that personal. We have that personal touch. This is not religion. This is relationship. People can go through religious observations, attend services, and go through ceremonies and traditions, and they can never meet the Lord by name, face to face, person to person. They can go through religious tradition and never meet the Lord at all. But you and I, you have a personal relationship with him. We meet the Lord every time, either at home privately or together in fellowship. He knows us. We know him. We know his voice. He hears our voice. A wonderful relationship established by that good shepherd. Look in verse 4. He goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know the voice of the Lord through Scripture, don't you? Of course you do. Or through the ministry of the Word as well. They don't know the voice of false shepherds. They're the strangers, they're the thieves, they're the robbers. We don't want anything to do with them. We want the truth, and nothing but the truth. And the sheep will never truly follow a false shepherd. Sadly, there are some areas who, particularly in America, I think maybe over here too, the people don't know the word well enough to be able to spot the false. It's like in the bank. Person behind the desk at the bank knows how to spot the false note because they know the genuine note so well. Then they can spot the false if you know the genuine. It's true in the Word for us. So let's look from verses 7 to 11 in the same chapter of John. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Who are the thieves and robbers? false teachers, false shepherds? Was he thinking of the false teachers in Israel? Was he thinking of those who, like the Pharisee and the scribe, tried to uphold the law and even every little bit of the law? And the 613 interpretations from the Ten Commandments that so ensnared the people? Were they the thieves and robbers that try and keep away people from the Lord, who gives freedom from the curse of the law? Now we have a law which is to love the Lord our God and to love one another. That's simple enough. And we can do that by the new nature within, by the Holy Spirit. Love is a gift and love is a fruit of the Spirit. The sheep may enter only through the door, which is himself. He's known by his sheep, and he knows each individual sheep. He knows us thoroughly through and through. Through the centuries, the Lord has called many people to become his sheep, both Jew and Gentile. And there should be one sheepfold, one flock in the church. Of course, the Lord will do work after the church is gone. We know in Israel and around the world, in the Great Tribulation period, we know that. But Jew and Gentile and one body in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we're very real. That is one sheepfold for the moment in the church. One sheepfold. They shall have one shepherd, the Lord Jesus, in one sheepfold. His is the true church, which began at Pentecost. There's no church before Pentecost. So that is a completely new work of grace. Jew and Gentile in one body in Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. We were far off. The Jewish people were near. They'd had the revelation of God in the Old Testament. But we're brought together by the blood of Jesus to be one fold, one flock, one sheepfold under the Good Shepherd. Wonderful that, isn't it? And it says here, you look down, please, if you will, to verse 14 through to 18 in the same chapter. I am the good shepherd, there it is. And I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. That's relationship. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. He laid down his life, remembering that this morning around the Lord's table. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that's us Gentiles through the church age and many Jewish people. From them I also must bring them, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. There it is, you see. 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. The power of the resurrection. Wonderful, isn't it? No one takes it from me, but I lay it down to myself, and I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This command I have from my Father. You see, the Lord Jesus is not only the shepherd, but he's a lamb as well. Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God in the book of Revelation also will become the lion one day to rule in his regality. He is a sacrificed lamb. He still bears those wounds now in his body. They will see him whom they pierced when he comes to the Mount of Olives, and we come back with him. He is both the sacrificed Lamb of God and is the shepherd of his redeemed sheep. Remarkable that. He's a lamb and the shepherd as one. That's the work of the Father for him. How amazing is that? Now he becomes a God of peace, made peace. He's a God of peace who made peace through the blood of Christ for us and drew us close to him. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Will you do that, please? Into chapter 13 of Hebrews. Chapter 13 of Hebrews. Just two verses. See, we've been looking at the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, verses 20 and 21, you'll find here is called the Great Shepherd. The Good Shepherd and the Great Shepherd. Verse 20, Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's called the Great Shepherd. For the greatness of the shepherd is one who has all supreme authority and power. He's also called the firstborn. Firstborn from the dead, never to die again. He's the preeminent one with supremacy of importance and of power and of greatness. That's who your shepherd is. His all power to save and to keep. Indeed, he does. He's the great shepherd, full of majesty. We've been thinking of Revelation 4 and 5 earlier this morning. Let him be all the glory and the praise, the honor, the worship, and the majesty. He is worthy, the Lamb who was slain, but is now the great shepherd of the sheep. Supremacy, preeminence, firstborn, most important person of all. In all his greatness, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Many of the scriptures speak about that. Great is the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 48 for a moment, shall we? Just a few verses in Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Just the first three verses will be sufficient. The greatness of the Lord. We sing that too. Psalm 48, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, Jerusalem. In the holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. Yes, it's high up. The joy of the whole earth, it will be one day, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces, he's known as her refuge. City of the great king, at Jerusalem. He is the great king, he's the great Lord. The greatness of God is your shepherd. Supremacy, preeminence, most important person in the most important place. In Hebrews, it tells us that after he made atonement for our sin, he went back to heaven and sat on his Father's throne. Full authority, full supremacy, full kingship, true regality. He will display that when he comes again. That's very wonderful. Finally, let's go to 1 Peter into the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2 and then chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just look at verse 25, 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. For you are like sheep going astray. Sheep usually do. They do scatter easily. But have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer or bishop of your souls, one who has oversight over you, one who has leadership over you, one who leads you on in truth, which is what a good spiritual leader should do. For we were going astray, we didn't know the Lord, we wandered through life doing our own thing. And then the Lord suddenly took hold of our lives, brought us to himself in salvation, brought us into his fold, and we've now returned to him, who is the one who has oversight of our lives, the greatness of the Lord. Wonderful that, isn't it? Because of verse 24, it says he bore our sin in his own body on that tree. He bore that curse so we could be free from it. Hallelujah. He died. Bore our sin, that we might live to righteousness. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful gift of the shepherd Savior. We are like wandering lost sheep, so we were, and without a shepherd, and have now been returned to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. He watches over his flock. He watches over the individual sheep. Notice, in Matthew 25, there's that third parable of the sheep and the goats. And he separates out the sheep and the goats, you know that parable. But the goats don't belong to him. The sheep do. Hence the separation by God's grace. Of course, we know that's the time of the Great Tribulation, we know that. Go on to chapter 5 and verse 4. Then a few summarizing thoughts. A few thoughts here, a little bit extra. 1 Peter then, chapter 5 and verse 4. Here we find him as the chief shepherd. The elders in this early part of chapter 5 are called to be overseers of the flock of the Lord down here in the body, in the church. And they're called to shepherd the flock, elders' responsibilities to feed. But look in verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. This is promised to those who have spiritual responsibilities and elders. But we can all be like that. We can all watch over other people, so we should, and care for them, shepherd them, encourage them, comfort them, uphold them, lift them up, fellowship with them and care for them. That's being like a pastor as well. We can all do that. We can all have a crown of glory if we're like this. But he's a chief shepherd because they're under shepherds. The elders or the overseers were under shepherds of the flock. But there's a chief shepherd above them all. And he's the Lord of glory. He's the chief shepherd above everyone. He's the Lord and head of the church. We know that. We know that the shepherd now sits, as I said, from Hebrews chapter 1, sitting down at his Father's side on the throne there with him. And to sit down means a completed work. He's done all that was necessary to save us and to keep us. And he ascended through the heavens back to his Father's side, a completed work of salvation for his flock. There's nothing else that he left to do except to come for us. And following on from there. He's the omnipotent king. He's the great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a chief shepherd. He's the king. You've never known in the scriptures a king of the church. He's Lord and head and savior and bridegroom of the church. But he's a king of Israel, if you know that. But he will establish his kingdom when he comes and we'll be part of it, coming back with him to reign and rule with him. What a blessed privilege that is. He now has the highest place that heaven affords, as a hymn writer says. It is his by right, because of who he is: God, the Son, the Shepherd, the Savior, the Sanctifier, the Sustainer. That's who he is. It's your shepherd and mine. David, who was a shepherd king, acknowledged the great king, as we read in Psalm 48. Just a quick summary here. It's amazing, the omnipotence, the sovereignty of the Lord came through Ezekiel. It didn't refer to it then. You can do it in your own time if you wish to. But in Ezekiel 34, those few verses, 11 to 16 we read, the phrase, "I will," occurs 10 times. That's authority. That's sovereignty. That's omnipotence. I will do it. I will, I will, I will. And he says that, not only for Israel's future, but for you too. I will do this for you. I will do that. You check it out 10 times, illustrating his omnipotence, his all-knowing. And then down in verses 20 to 29, there's another 10 times where he says, "I will, I will." Isn't that wonderful? I will do this for you. I will, I will. I'm watching. I know. I know my own. I know their needs. I will. I will do this. I shall. I shall. I shall do that. In John chapter 10, we read that the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep in death. In Hebrews 13 verse 20, we find that the good shepherd is resurrected. He's alive forevermore. He's back in heaven, completed our redemption. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the chief shepherd has a glorious return when he comes to reward and give a crown of glory. So the shepherd died. The shepherd rose again. The shepherd has a glorious return, and our redemption will be complete when we're with him.